This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
That's working. Overtime.
Working a little overtime.
That'll suck some power. Overtime.
Maybe I'll just stay and work overtime.
Overtime again.
Working a little overtime.
OT, 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 overtime on your airwaves live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in here with you guys going up until 8 p.m. As always, like I said, we're live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios going up until 8 p.m. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in here with you guys. Tuesday, got to head out to Craven Wings today. Say what's up to Terry Fair. I got to say hi to Russ as well. Shout out Voltaire. I don't know if he's listening. He was there. Him and I got a bite to eat. He took me to the Florida game last year. He had a free ticket, so I DM'd him. So time is a flat circle. The next time I saw him, we're playing Florida this weekend as well. So it was nice to catch up. I got to see Jacob Warren, whom I went to high school with. So it was nice to see the next famous alumni on the list. Like, I'm definitely I'm the top one. Famous alumni, so it was nice to see the number two famous alumni from Farragut, so that was good to see. Gave him a good dap. It was a very awkward conversation. I don't think he remembered me.
Okay.
But still got to...
You guys went to the same school?
Yeah.
Same time?
Yes, I was a sophomore when he was a senior, so I went 2 years with him.
Gotcha. Okay, so...
He knew my name.
He knew who you were?
He knew my name. I don't think he knew who I was, but I think he just either guessed it right... Or is just really good with names.
They knew your name. That's cool.
It felt nice.
It felt nice. You're famous. Whatever.
I just said, yeah. It was nice to catch up with the number two famous alumni. Obviously, me being the number one famous alumni.
Oh, I thought you said he was number one. You were number two.
Why would I ever say that? Does that sound like something Will Stevens would say?
I'm running it back in my head. Probably not.
That would be like me saying you smell good. You know what I mean? That's just not happening.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy for you to say.
Yes, but no, it was nice go out to Craven Wings, had some good chicken tenders. I'm not a bone-in guy, so I like a place that offers a chicken tender instead of just a boneless nug, because you get more chicken.
Uh-huh.
And so it was nice. I got some spicy tenders, some fries.
They have really good wings.
Not a wing guy, but their sauce was phenomenal. I guess I can say I like their wings because I got chicken tenders with sauce on them. But is that stolen valor if I say I got good wings and they were chicken tenders with sauce on them? I feel like that's a little bit of stolen. I also got a mild...
No, nothing wrong with that.
Which I will give a
big
shout out to Craven Wings. Like I said, I'm not a big wings guy. I don't like getting my hands dirty. I'm not a giant barbecue guy for that matter. But I'm also a bit afraid of the spice. I think I've compared spicy food to horror movies. Like, those are two things I just don't understand why people enjoy scaring themselves.
Pain.
And I don't understand why people enjoy painting themselves.
Sure. Hurting
themselves with their tongue. But went out there. Got some food, got the mild wings, and they were the perfect.
They're pretty good.
The perfect type of mild.
It's a
beautiful, sweet buffalo flavor, and it gives. It's not too much of a kick, because I've been to many places where I've gotten the mild and then not been able to eat them because I'm that bad with spice. It's a perfect mild. It is a perfect mild.
Did it feel like you had entered a Flavor Town, possibly?
No,
no,
not Flavor Town. Just because it was a quick pit stop. I didn't have a chance to really, like, when you go to Flavor Town, You go sightseeing. You go door
right,
to door.
Right, right,
you
right.
go hang out with everyone, and you have a good time in Flavortown. You can't really go to Flavortown if you're just passing through.
And you I was took kind the of, exit at Flavortown and yes, gassed up a little yes, bit, but you didn't exactly. really go to Flavortown. No,
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I see what you're saying.
Exactly. I stopped, stretched my legs, took a leak, and then I had to head back over here because it's an hour, not an hour, with not driving on the interstate in traffic. It's an hour. It's a 35-minute drive from South Knoxville over to the Farragut location. But I grew up literally 30 seconds, like walking distance from that Craven Wings, so it was nice to go see the old neighborhood, drive around, okay. see all the new things in Farragut. But yeah, no, it was one of those made me feel old type moments of like, wow, this is where I used to live. You know what I mean? Like my dad has taken
my
me.
My old stomping grounds.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I know this place like the back of my hand. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
My dad used to take me, we go to Charleston a lot, and he grew up in Charleston, so he used to take me to the old places he used to hang out in Charleston. And so it felt like if I had a kid in the car with me, I would have been taking him to go see my old stomping grounds, like you said. But it's right there next to the Weigels. I'm pretty sure Davey, T-Fair, and Russ will be out there for a while afterwards. I'm sure they're going to be partying it up out at Craven Wings. It was a good bit of food. I'm not going to lie. It was a good bit of food.
Nice.
It was. It wasn't.
I'm glad you had a good day, man.
I did. I procrastinated a lot. I was supposed to make a couple of doctor's appointments for some things.
You were supposed to create them.
I'm at the point where I have to call the doctor's office at my age.
You're a grown-up now. Yeah.
Can't do it. And so I think we're going to do it
can't
tomorrow.
Can't do it.
Just I dialed three times and hung up three times. Like I just.
What do you mean?
Just
say, hey, I'm sick. I need to see a doctor.
Just got real nervous.
And they'll say, when can you? And you'll say, and they'll give you days. And you'll say, yeah, that works. And they'll say, okay, cool. Click.
Fair. But
you got it, dude. You're an adult.
I guess. Let's head over to the G3 Help Me hotline real quick where Andy calling in. Andy, you're on overtime, man. What's up?
What's up, guys? How we doing today?
Doing pretty good, man. How about yourself?
Doing well.
Doing good. I haven't been able to listen to much today. Been at work all day, but just a general thing I think about every year when we face these guys. Where do they fall on your hatred scale for you guys?
In terms of just teams or hatred rankings as a whole? Because in terms of like SEC teams... They're number one. I just fan base, everything. Like Alabama, just I don't know. I don't get the Alabama hate as much in my family. But my whole entire family hates Florida. We had a cousin who went to Florida and we disowned him. It's up there.
I think Bama. The thing with me about Alabama is, yeah, I was brought up and told about the history and steeped in the tradition of the hatred that goes back and forth between the two of them, but Bama has a standard. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, Florida, they almost fall in the one-off special category of hatred. And it's things like, I think it was Muschamp that left and said, I'm happy to see all these fans leave disappointed, you know? When we had, I think that might have been the first game we checkerboarded.
Was that 2015?
Think so. I can't remember the year, but I'll never forget that when he said that.
Yeah.
And there's just no that not in record, but in life, they're the losers. They're the
agreed. Agreed 100%.
You know, I remember going over there and watching some games in the 2010s where they beat us and they beat us straight up. No. Beef with that, but beef with them jumping on the bench and grabbing their crotch and just staring down fans. And yeah. I mean,
they were probably just trying to show off to Megan Mullen. You can't blame the kids for
they're low down and they're dirty. I don't
exactly.
like them.
Exactly.
I mean, the thing with Florida, the reason I hate Florida number one, and it's not even close, is the way in which we've lost to Florida, almost how it seems every year. It's the most painful loss. I mean, my top five most painful in my lifetime, which started in 98, was when I was born. Pretty much the most painful losses as a UT fan have been to Florida almost every single time, apart from, you know, some others here and there. They hurt the most,
I hate them the most.
That's pretty much the gist of it.
I was talking with Voltaire at Craven Wings earlier, and we were discussing the Florida game, obviously, because it's coming up, and we were doing a little just sports chat, little chin wiggle. I realized I've only seen us beat Florida once in my entire lifetime. I think it's only happened twice in my entire lifetime, but I've only seen it happen once. It's a crazy, crazy stat to think about.
Yeah, and see, they were irrelevant. And him being from Tennessee, and then we had Fulmer, is essentially, you know, one of our greats.
Yeah.
But, you know, Phillip, it's just different. They still, it's like they had that swagger from Spurrier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I hated the guy, but he was a heck of a coach.
Oh, yeah.
But Fulmer, even though he was good, it was like he gave us our identity. And we still hold on to that where we're conservative, where, you know, it was the I formation and playing. I mean, it was almost like we were scared of our shadow, you know.
Yeah.
We were afraid to step out and say anything controversial. I think I've heard the former players referred to Florida Week with Fulmer as they called it lemon booty, where he was just tight. Like it was like he was scared, man.
Oh,
and
wow.
Player just let it all hang out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wish we could break out of that mentality, you know. And like, I've called in to sports stations. Like, I called in, I think, here the other day, and I was just like, hey, you know, we need to input a quarterback sneak, you know, because I watched what happened in the Clemson game. If we cannot at least just put in a simple play, and it was like, you know, that might be asking too much from Heupel. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, man. Let it hang out. We're not supposed to win. We're not supposed to get close to these guys. I don't know what the line is right now, but let's just go let it hang out. You know, it's just, don't be scared. And it's like we still are. As a fan base, as players, as coaches, even all the changes we've made, you know, we can't find anyone that will just go after him.
Yeah.
Just not care.
I will say the most frustrating part about this team so far is, like, some of the play calling does seem like Heupel's going for it and letting it hang out with the deep balls and attacking, you know, vertically. We just don't have a guy that can really connect right there, so our aggressiveness goes completely away when you take away that deep ball. Like, that's what his offense is relying so heavily on, and it just can't happen, so, you know, that it completely derails the entire offense. Otherwise, if we had a guy that could just complete a deep ball, and I don't think we have one on the roster right now, they can develop as the season goes on. If Heupel is the whisper, as he is, the longer these guys have together, one of the three, I think, by the end of the season, will be able to complete a pass over 20 yards. Fingers crossed. I think he is bringing a sort of demeanor about the team, though. I like their personalities, the way they're acting on the field and on the sidelines during the game, when I've been there, what I've noticed, compared to last year, at least, for sure. I still think we have a long way to go, but winning will also help with that a lot, too. So you just kind of, one of those things I think we just kind of have to wait on, sadly.
He's trying to pull it out of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I would like to see us, like, let's, like, maybe we're, and we're always saying this, if you notice, we say it every stinking year, we're like, we're going vanilla, you know, we're going vanilla not to show things. And, you know, this year, I don't know if we're saying as much because it's a new coach and he's installing things, but I would love, you know, it would melt their face if we would throw timing around over the middle or run crossing routes. And we saw a few of them in the first game, and our receivers, and Milton actually completed them.
Yes.
Our receiver just dropped it.
Yeah.
Hit him in the hands. Hyatt, I think, dropped two or three of them.
He could have even had up to four drops that game. He had a really rough night.
But don't quit. Don't quit taking shots, man.
No.
In this game, come out there and throw some timing routes. Throw some things. Because they're not going to – because we went to that early and it didn't work.
I think we lost, Andy. We do appreciate the call, though. Appreciate it.
No, it's a bummer. That was a good call.
It was a good call.
I hate he dropped.
A couple of different breakup points where I thought we were going to have to drop him, but it kept on continuing.
But he was doing well enough with context clues that I knew exactly what he was talking about.
Kept the conversation
rolling.
It was
rolling. Good.
There
it was a
no
great phone call,
there.
Andy.
I wonder
Thank
if he
you.
Was turning right or left with that blinker on.
Call back in some other time. That was a good phone
hopefully,
call.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I wonder, the hate rankings is an interesting thought process.
I mean, they're my number one, no question.
They're my number one this week.
For sure, yeah. Number one, two, three, four, and five in the top five. But overall, of all time, mean, Georgia is probably my number two.
Like, if you put it in perspective of, like, what teams would you most want to write a diss track against and then post it on Twitter?
Florida.
I think Florida would be up there. Florida gives you some good rhymes.
I can't write a diss track currently to Alabama.
Why can you not? You can diss anybody.
I mean, you could. You can,
it's all
I
about
guess.
Punching up. Alabama can't write a diss track against anybody because it's all about punching
or they
up.
They can write a diss track to everybody.
No, you can't.
Well, it's not really, they don't even really not need to write a diss track. They just do a track.
You can't punch down.
You're totally allowed to punch down. You can only Alabama punch does up. It every Saturday.
Yeah, in terms of football, but in terms of, like, Twitter world. That's why Vol Twitter is so good in the recent years. It's because we're so bad at football that all we do is punch up, and no one can hate. You can't hate the lovable loser, you know what I mean?
People do. People do hate us.
Well, that's because we're not a lovable loser.
We're just cool. We're
just losers.
We're not just losers.
No,
I think we're lovable losers.
We're a gang of losers, and I would not.
We're an angry.
I would never want to trade my gang of losers for any other gang of losers. I'll say that right now.
I would say we're an angry mob of losers. We lose, but by golly, we're pissed about it, and don't ask us about it because you will regret it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think we're a bear or something like that.
Yeah, no, we're like
don't disturb us, and you'll be cool.
We're a mom after a long day. Like, if you really okay. want to hear all of this, then go ahead and ask. But I wouldn't ask about my day if you don't want to hear every little bit of detail. You know what I mean?
Fair. Like, if you mention Vol Twitter or the Vols or anything as a writer or a reporter or anybody in sports media, regular media, you're gonna answer for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's the same way with people being able to use it for clicks.
I think losing has made the fan base stronger. I'll say that. You know,
well, we've also sucked since the turn of the invention
exactly.
of Twitter
We're
and
hardened.
Social media.
We're hardened.
We've been bad. We were bad before social media was invented in a big thing, but we've been bad, like really bad, consistently since, like, what, 2012 is when Twitter was starting to get big? Maybe 2010, 2009?
It was like 2009.
Okay, we sucked since then.
We almost beat Bama that year, though. That was cool.
Nice.
And then Kiffin left.
2009. I was in second grade.
And then Kiffin left.
Kiffin left?
Yeah, and then Kiffin left.
I think I might have been in fourth. It don't matter. So. But no, I
think Twitter actually may be the problem because 2009 is, I think, when it started. And then...
I think it was before that. But no, I don't know. Man, like, hating rankings, like, Florida's obviously up there right now. It's kind of a recency bias, or not recency bias, but just who we're playing. But at the same time, I understand the level of hate, but I am in the generation. I am the generation that people hate me because I've never seen any of these, like, the big three ever be competitive or rivalries. So, therefore, I don't really have as much disdain for them as much as I hate Kentucky because of basketball. And I hate Vanderbilt because they're 5-5 in the past 10 years with us. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like that's where my hate lies, because that's the teams we've been competitive against for so long.
Mm.
Like, I can pull up the tweet, but Davey does it basically every single year of the Vols' record against teams the last decade. I'm 20. So I didn't start watching football until I was like 8. So this is basically, the last decade has basically been my whole entire Vols existence. I'm going to run down the last decade of Tennessee against SEC teams. Against Bama, 0-10.
Yeah, never beat them.
Against Arkansas, we're 0-3. Against Auburn, we're 1-2 with that one win.
In 2018.
Pruitt, and we thought we had it. No, that team was just bad.
That team sucked.
You got Florida, we're 1-9. That's the only win against Florida
that
I've
one
ever
win.
Seen.
That one win was really cool.
Against Georgia, we're 2-8.
Yep.
Against Kentucky, the only team we have a winning record against, we are 7-3. That's a good note, but that is the only team in the SEC over the past decade that we have a winning record against that we've played more than once. We're 0-2 against LSU. We're 1-1 against Ole Miss. We're 1-1 against Mississippi State. We're 4-5 against Missouri. We're 5-5. We're split the series with South Carolina. We're 5-5 with Vandy over the past decade, and we're 0-2 against A&M. So, like, that's the reason that hate question made me think, and I actually had to think about it, is because the teams that we've been competitive with are Missouri and Kentucky and Vanderbilt off this list. I've never seen us be real competitive with Georgia or Florida or any of the other teams on that list. So it's hard to hate someone you've never been competitive with in my lifetime. You know what I mean? That's where my problem with hate comes in. And that's why every time someone's like, oh, this game's still a rivalry, I understand the aspect of rivalry in history, But from a young man who's the age, or now a couple years older, but the age of recruited, or the recruits, kids were trying to get to come play at Tennessee, a lot of them aren't rivalries anymore to those kids. It's still to me because I have that history attached to me. I've grown up watching Vol football. But in terms of, like, if I wasn't a Vol fan, I went to college here, like, it would be really hard to understand what is rivalry and what is not. Like, if I was a student from California in high school and I got a scholarship to come to UT for the veterinarian program or whatever, like, I wouldn't know who our rivals are, really. I really don't think so. And I think that's the thing that people are missing about the kids that we are recruiting who aren't dreaming of coming to Tennessee. It used to be a lot of kids from all over the nation were dreaming of coming to Tennessee because we were the only teams on TV. Now everyone's on TV, and not everyone knows the history of Tennessee. Not everyone's dying to come to Tennessee anymore.
No.
Like, that's just how it is. I don't know if I'm breaking a lot of hearts or pissing a lot of people off, but that's just from a young man's perspective.
Well, that's not – I don't think you're saying anything people don't understand. We've not been good.
Yes, but I think that people don't understand the perspective of the – like, when Florida players say it's not a rivalry anymore and they freak out. It's not a rivalry to Florida players who are currently on the Florida roster because they're my age and they have beat Tennessee every single time except for once in the past decade.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we are. It's a sad realization. We're going to hit a quick break, come back, talk a little bit about this Florida game, keep breaking down everything. And, oh, I got a little tweet. Shout out Voltaire. I don't know if you caught the beginning, but I gave you a shout out already. But shout out Voltaire. Had a good little lunch with him. It was nice to catch
dude.
Up with
That's
people
good.
Who I enjoy. It was nice to hear and nice to see. We'll be right back. More Overtime next. Don't go anywhere. Overtime. Rolling right along. We're live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in here with you guys. Going up until 8 p.m. As always, like I said, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in here with you guys talking about the Florida game. I don't want to get too much into it. I don't want to get all our talking points out of the way before it even hits Thursday. You know what I mean? Which, programming note, in advance, we will not have a show on Friday. I have something I need to attend. Tucker will not be here either, giving him the day off. For an unfortunate situation. Don't want to get into it too much, but I will not be here on Friday. So we'll do our what we usually do, because we're never here on Fridays.
Nope,
but this time it's not your fault. It's my fault.
Yep.
For getting off for Friday. So we'll do all our picks and previews and all that jazz that we did on Friday last week on Thursday of this week. So I do want to hold some talking points. I don't want to, as they say, show my whole entire deck or all my cards. I don't want to have my cards on the table. I want to keep some things close to the vest, but I did just go on a long rant, so figured we should continue talking about this Florida game where Florida is favored by 20 points even right now against Tennessee. And we were talking about this during the break. I said, save it for live. I yelled the Bill O'Reilly quote, and not the one that he got fired for. But actually, I think that was more of a handsy thing than a vocal thing.
I don't know what he did, but I'm sure you didn't do it in the break. I don't think so at all.
No, I can't. No. I can't reach you over there.
No.
But
I'm safe.
And you wouldn't tell on me if you did. But 20-point favorites we were talking about during the break. You think they cover?
I think
Florida they, being they.
I think they probably do.
See, I don't know. I
think they probably beat us, but yeah.
I was thinking about this, and with the same, like, I just went on a rant about how it's not a rivalry. I don't think we've been competitive for a while. Florida really had to go all out in that Alabama game. It would have been different if they covered and stayed within 14, because I think the line was 14.5. It's like, okay, that was a respectable loss against Alabama, but they didn't really put it all out there. They gave everything they had in that game and it just ended up losing by, what was it, one or two? I think it was a 31-29 final.
They lost by 2 points.
Exactly.
They were a 2-point conversion shy of tying it with around, 3 minutes left?
Somewhere along in there.
Yeah.
And it was a very impressive game, but they had to put everything they had out there. There's got to be a little bit of a hangover, right? Like, maybe,
sure.
Maybe if we're getting into the nitty-gritty, like, gambling picks, I wouldn't mind looking at the first half line for Tennessee and seeing what it is, because if it's 14, I think they start slow and I think we might be able to hang with them for the first half. I don't think we win this game. That's not what I'm trying to say. I do think Florida put it all out there, and I think they're going to be a step slow, a little bit of sleep, if you will, to start the game on Saturday.
I just...
That's not a crazy take, I don't think.
Mm.
It's definitely optimistic, but I don't think it's crazy.
It's not crazy. And, I mean, I do see, you know, an opportunity for us to run the ball against them. I don't think their run defense is that great.
No, it was the best part of their game last week. They only allowed 90 yards. That's why Alabama was struggling. They couldn't run. Alabama couldn't run the ball.
No, I mean our run defense. They're going to be able to run the ball against us.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they will.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly.
Okay. I thought you said that their run defense was weak.
I guess I did say they. That was my bad.
Yeah.
Our.
There you go.
That's
there
us. Go. That's we.
There you go. Out here getting too progressive with the pronouns.
My bad. If we can connect on deep balls.
There's only two pronouns.
All right, guys. You want me to get crazy? Do you want me to get crazy? If we can connect.
Why not?
If we can connect on deep balls. If we, by some magical miracle in the skies, causes this to happen. If every open deep ball we have is connected with. I think we only lose by like two scores.
I don't hate the take. I don't hate the take.
I just don't think we're talented enough.
I agree with you. If we force seven turnovers, I think we could win this game. You know what I mean? Like I really do. If our defense comes out and plays like they did against Tennessee Tech, we're national champions.
If Florida comes out and plays like Tennessee Tech, I think we got a chance.
Exactly.
No, but in all seriousness,
I got to give the bird to the entire Tennessee Tech bus as they were driving past.
You gave them the bird?
Yeah. You don't come into our
house. I guess as you should. Huh. That's funny. That's good, wholesome.
I hope
sports
it was
fandom.
Because if it was,
what do you mean you hope it was? Was it not branded?
It was just a big Premier bus, and I just assumed that was Tennessee Tech because Premier is a Tennessee bus line.
I guess so.
I was hoping I didn't give just some random high school team
a bunch of
finger.
Old ladies. On a tour of
bunch
Knoxville.
Of nuns.
They're in from like Arizona checking out, you know.
They deserve it even more.
Yeah, you're right. You know what?
Don't be a tourist.
Who cares? You're taking a bus.
We have enough people.
Polluting the earth.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I'm sure there was someone pooping on that bus too. That's a rule.
Pooping in the bus?
You should.
In the bathroom?
No pooping on
you
the bus.
You can't do that.
No pooping on the bus.
That's a rookie mistake.
That is an established thing.
It'd be funny if those buses, the toilet was just a hole. In the ground.
That would be pretty funny.
You know?
That would be pretty funny.
Wouldn't be clean, but it would be funny. You lift the lid and just see the pavement going right by. I think that'd be... It's inches away. You know, you got to risk it.
Fill all the potholes.
Yeah, that's the solution we're all looking for the potholes.
Pack it full of poo.
Yeah, that's...
Did you see the tweet? I can't say his name on air, but it was a very funny tweet. It was an article written by someone whose last name starts with poop. And then has a bad word in it. And he said, Madden won't let me put my name in the game because it says it's profanity, which it is. Like when you look at it, that's exactly what like I would have put
words.
As. Exactly. And it's very, very funny. It was a very funny tweet.
But very funny.
It was hilarious.
I just, so do you think there exists an actual realistic scenario where the Vols win on Saturday? Do you think there exists a realistic... I mean, I understand within possibility, you know, obviously, if we score more points than them, we win. But do you think there... I mean, what would we have... Like, we have to create turnovers. We're not winning the football game at all. I mean, we have to have... You know, we have to steal possessions in any way that we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would be a number... of points that we would have to hold them to. What's a like amount of points that you are confident that the Vols can score against Florida? I mean, I'm thinking 24 is about as high. Like, I don't think we're going to be able to put up as many points as we think we will against SEC defenses. 24.
That's a hard question because, like,
24 is like the ceiling. I'm thinking.
I don't want to sit 27. Here and be an over optimist. I've been the like we've had these takes from last year,
right.
This year, anything. Like, I've been the hold on to your expectations type of guy. I like to think of myself as a reasonable human being, not an intelligent human being, but at least reasonable, semi logical, if you will. I wouldn't be shocked. Now, I'm not saying we will, but I wouldn't be shocked if we were able to get into the 30s. Like, the way we run quick, if we can gas them out, not let them get subs, I wouldn't be shocked if we scored 30. Now, that being said, I also wouldn't be shocked if they score 50.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very
especially true. Especially if Anthony Richardson gets in for a couple of plays. He can do damage. Emory mm-hmm. Jones looked pretty solid. He got a 2-point loss under Alabama, which is technically a win in my book.
He covered.
They're a 3-0 team.
He covered.
Exactly. I don't know, man. I could see us scoring 30, but at the same time, I still think it's a 50-30 game. I think that spread is pretty accurate. Hold on, I'm trying to find this quote.
Just a couple turnovers. Maybe one of those a pick six somehow. Alonte Taylor houses one.
Get some moonshine cookies too.
That'd be cool. Yeah, would be cool. It's gonna have to be an absolutely upside down, opposite day game for us to everything will have to roll our way.
Mm-hmm.
Any fumble bounces into the arms of a Vol. Deflected passes going straight up in the air for interception. We're gonna need things to happen that we don't necessarily we create. But we need it to all lean our way, breaks.
To quote Dr. Strange from Infinity War, I looked forward in time, I saw 14,605 futures. If you play the role of Tony Stark, just ask me how many of them we win against Florida. Just go ahead and say your line.
One.
No, that's not your line.
I don't know the...
I told you your line.
Oh, I didn't.
How many times will we? We'll do it again. Your line okay. is how many times do we win across Florida after I say my line?
Okay. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I looked forward in time. I saw 14,605 futures.
How many of them did we beat Florida?
None of them.
Damn, that's not what they say in the movie. That sucks.
You didn't ask me how many times we covered. That's a different question.
How many times do we cover?
Two.
Twice.
Let's go.
That's all right. I'll take a 14-point loss. That'd be. Whatever.
Hit a quick break. Come back. Get a little away from the world of Tennessee football. Talk a couple of about some Vols in the real world. A couple of Vols having some good things happen to them. Also talk about what's going down in New Orleans. Talk about Lane Kiffin. And also talk about the Pope. We're going to talk about the Pope a little bit, too.
A little Pope talk.
New segment alert as well.
New segment?
New segment.
Okay. Tell the people.
Mom of the week.
Mom of the week.
Mom of the week.
Does any mother?
Anybody who has a child, you're eligible for mom of the week. But I have four stories of moms of the week. We have one local mom of the week and a couple from California and a couple from Texas. We'll get into all of that and much, much more. Overtime rolls along after this break. Don't go anywhere. Overtime, Fenner Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in here with you guys, going up until 8 p.m. as always. Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, going up until 8 p.m. Overtime on your airwaves. This segment's brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook because the NFL is back. We watched Monday Night Football last night. Talk about that game, break that one down. Manning cast was pretty entertaining, I won't lie. I didn't get a chance to check out week one, week two. I got a little bit of watching in. I enjoyed what I saw. I didn't get to see the second half, and I saw that the guests from the second half were a little bit better than the first half, in my opinion, but still enjoyed what I saw. But FanDuel wants you to get the most out of every play, just like a coach when he's coaching his player, and he said, man, I know you can do better. I know you can get more out of every single play. I want you to do the most every single time. FanDuel wants you to get the most out of every play, and that's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. And Thursday night is a great opportunity to give it a try. All you got to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more. You can't do a human parlay. You know what I mean? You can't do a two-leg parlay.
Nope.
But maybe do a little doggy parlay. A little doggy parlay. Maybe an insect-style parlay.
Okay.
Get a little six-leg in there. Six legs? You know what I mean? Ooh.
Spider?
Maybe we could go arachnid. Ooh. Go all eight with a little scorpion tail sting, or get that ninth leg in there, too.
Centipede?
I don't know if we can do 100 leg parlays. I think that might crash the
system. Well, how many?
But
how
go
many
ahead
sets?
And try your darndest. But don't tell them overtime sent you if it crashed the system.
It's not my fault.
Exactly. But all you got to do is place a same game parlay bet with 3 legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. You got the Carolina versus Houston. Davis Mills will most likely be getting the start for Houston, the rookie out of Stanford. Many people were pretty high on him as maybe the steal of the draft at quarterback. Tucker, do you believe in Davis Mills and the Houston Texans, or are you liking what you see out of Sammy D?
I mean,
those are two bad
what
options.
What a sentence. What a sentence you just said. I want to make that clear. That just Sammy D.
Sammy D, like Sonny D.
Is that his nickname?
It is now? Unless you want me to call him, what's the kid from Sixth Sense name? The one who saw a ghost all the time.
I can't remember.
Or Kissin' Sammy?
Kissin' Sammy, he got mono. He did get mono. Give me Sammy D.
Mono-y Darnold?
Yeah, give me Sammy D. For now, give me Sammy D. Yeah, right now I'm avoiding most things with the Houston Texans.
That's fair, as most massage therapists are as well.
Zinger. Zinger. Hey-o! This guy over here.
Play the reggaeton horn.
Wow.
But no. all you got to do is place a same game parlay bet with 3 legs or more. I wouldn't mind throwing a little Carolina money line, maybe even Carolina spread, plus Robbie Anderson, who is a big fan of Sir Purr, go out there and get a touchdown as well. I don't hate that at all.
Okay.
I don't hate that at all. I don't even know if Robbie Anderson is still there, but that's the first player I think of when I think of the Carolina Panthers.
For sure. Is Sir 100%.
Purr. Sir Purr.
I also think of Kelvin Benjamin and how he was bullied out of the NFL.
Well, when I think of Kelvin Benjamin, that's 2 players.
Exactly. You just demonstrated what I was referring to. Yes, that. That stuff.
But yes, FanDuel, it's the perfect sports betting app. I mean, you got fast payouts. It's easy to use. Like, even I can use it. And it's safe and secure. It's America's number one sports book for a reason, guys. So go try it out. There's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay bet. Like, I'm sure. Patrick Mahomes would come down here and be like, if I asked him, what feels better? Throwing a game-winning touchdown pass or hitting the same game parlay bet of 3 legs or more?
Let me tell you, I've asked him. He said it's the parlay.
It's the parlay, Will.
It's the parlay. When I hit the parlay,
I go and get ketchup on my steak.
Oh, God. I don't even know what you said.
Ketchup on my steak.
No, I heard. We understood you. It was a scarier person than Patrick Mahomes. I don't know.
So, like that Patrick guy from Mahomes' girlfriend?
You sound like what the guy from Beetlejuice looked like when he was dead.
I've never seen Beetlejuice. I don't watch movies with prisoners in it. Jumpsuit.
But
locking your back today.
You're killing it today, man.
We're taking this ad read for a whole segment just because we can't stop telling jokes. I'm sure they do. I'm sure they love getting 5-minute ad reads in here.
FanDuel loves it.
But locking your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. And if you're new to FanDuel, we've been talking about it for years. How are you new to FanDuel? But if you are new to FanDuel, you can also claim your 30-1 odds on either team to win on the Monday night game, Philadelphia versus Dallas. You just got to sign up with promo code OVERTIME, all caps, one word. And if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's for new customers. For all customers, though, you get a risk-free same game parlay bet of 3 legs or more. Again, just use promo code OVERTIME, all caps, so they know we sent you. You must be 21 or older, present in Tennessee. Refund issue is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Same game parlay bet available in multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Again, that is a TN red line number. 1-800-889-9789. Please always gamble within your means. Talk about some Vols in the real world?
Sure, yeah. They're out there.
I mean, still in sports, as the Orlando Magic have signed free agent forward Admiral Schofield
hey!
To a contract. I'm not sure what the actual details of the contract is. I just saw this come across my timeline during last segment, but it feels good.
Good.
I love me from some Admiral Schofield.
Yeah. I didn't want him to fall to the wayside.
No, I've been hooked on him ever since I saw him singing that Adele song with the SEC guitar. That was beautiful. Yeah. That was beautiful.
It was nice.
6'5", 240. Still at that
unit.
Good size.
He's a unit.
He's still at that good size.
Yeah.
Still
stroking the three ball.
Terms of the deal are not disclosed, but he now stands, the roster now stands at 20 players.
You think they gave him the Supermax and they're just keeping him on the DL?
Probably.
You know?
I think so.
It'd be good for him.
But he's played 132 games at the University of Tennessee. They gave his whole backstory, averaging 11.9 points per game.
Yeah, he was good.
5.3 rebounds and 1.3 assists.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
Yeah, we enjoyed having him on the team. It was a fun time.
For sure. He will wear number 25, so go ahead and buy your Magic jerseys now.
I don't like 25. Need him in a better-looking number than that. That's mean they gave him 25.
What do you mean?
I don't like 25 as a basketball number.
It's fair. I'm trying to think of another.
It doesn't seem fast to me, and he needs the help, you know?
Hold
like,
on.
Get him in like a... Like a... I don't know what numbers
five?
Are available. Yeah, is,
that was
is
his
five?
Number.
I know, but it's five available.
I think they might have retired Tobias Harris's jersey by now.
Maybe. Maybe.
Hold on, I'm going to look up some basketball
I don't know,
players.
25
who wear...
doesn't feel right on Schofield. Now.
Any other jersey other than a Tennessee jersey doesn't feel right.
Fair.
I won't lie to you.
Fair. But he's going to look good regardless, you know, with his athletic physique.
There's not a lot of basketball players who wore the jersey number 25 that you
exactly.
Know.
It's bad. It's bad mojo.
Malik,
I don't like it.
Malik Beasley. He's
all right.
He's a criminal.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
He just got out of jail. He was playing, and then went to jail over the summer, and just recently got out again.
Oh, you know what everybody did, huh?
I don't know what he did. I just know. I keep up
okay,
with the timeline.
I just you know
him.
Everybody who did something.
Yes. Yes.
How about
exactly.
That?
I just don't know what they did. I do know he was hitting up Larsa Pippen. So.
No, bad idea. Probably. Don't do that.
I'd say it's probably a better idea to commit a crime than it is to fool around with Larsa.
Maybe. Scotty doesn't take too kindly to it.
No. Junior or senior.
Neither. Yeah. Neither of them are cool with it.
I believe Lamonte Turner also. I had the tweet bookmarked, but it's disappeared off of my screen.
What about
screen.
Lamonte?
He's moving on in the world, too. I'm trying to find where it is. Oh, here it is. Hold on, I gotta translate the tweet. American quarterback Lamonte Turner.
Oh. Oh.
Is a new player joining our team. Welcome to Gdynia, the Seco Arca Gdynia. I believe that's just the association.
Wait, is it the right guy?
Yes. It's
oh, they
Lamonte
called
Turner.
Him a quarterback.
No, the translation is what was funny. The translation is quarterback. Their language translate to English to quarterback. I don't think they called him a quarterback.
Okay.
I think whatever their native tongue is, I think they called him the right name. It says PG/shooting guard on here, but moving up
okay.
in the world as well. A good friend of mine, Lamonte Turner.
Yeah, you hung out with him often.
Paid $40 too.
All the time.
Yeah.
Huh.
It was a good time.
You're.
Yeah, it's good to see guys moving up in the world. It's good to see Vols continue to win. Like I mentioned, got to hang out with a former Vol and a current Vol today out at Craven Wings.
Right.
Again, I can't say it enough, man. Like they don't put any money in my pocket, but I gave them a lot today because it was some good food and some good times. Go check out Craven Wings. I'm sure they'll do another remote out there soon. That's been hour one of overtime. We'll get to Mom of the Week, the Pope, Rugerts football. In New Orleans and a couple other things. We'll just hit it all. I got a lot of stuff to talk about, so don't go anywhere. Overtime continues after this. Overtime, hour two, starting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Like Hard Seltzer. It's crafted using quality ingredients. Excuse me. I'm getting choked up just thinking about them. They're so delicious. They're made from a blend of seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol based in a hint of fruit flavor. They're only 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol, and now available in 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. Please drink responsibly. Must be 21 and older. All that jazz, and always drink within your means, as they say.
That's right.
Don't. There's no reason to overdo it. No reason to overdo it. You're the type of people who ruin things for other people.
You don't have to impress anybody.
No.
You're just
not,
enjoy yourself.
You're not in high school anymore. Just sip on a beer. You know what I mean?
Have a good time. You know, just chill.
Exactly. You wanna? What do you want to do? You want to talk about Rutgers? You want to talk about
who?
Rutgers.
Oh yeah.
The school.
Rutgers.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The Scarlet Knights.
Right.
They're coached by the guy we ran off.
I know the man well. Yeah. We can.
Okay.
What you got? What I haven't heard any news about Rutgers.
Rutgers suspends it's one of those subscription only. Hold on one second. I'll get a different story. Didn't click on the link.
Oh, wow.
But Rutgers has to suspend two players from the team after they were arrested, quote, following an incident involving a paintball gun.
Oh, they shooting it out of a car, huh?
Give me one second.
That's usually how it goes.
I got to pull up a different story.
I've heard the tales of getting arrested over paintball guns. I know a few people who thought it would be really funny to drive around, shoot people with a paintball gun. That's against the law.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
That's assault.
People don't like it when you shoot them with paintball guns they're going about their day.
From a Steve Keeley. Two Rutgers football players from South Jersey arrested by university police charged with a drive-by shooting. Three students with a paintball gun last night. Both cornerbacks Max Melton and Chris Long suspended from the team today, charged with aggravated assault and weapons charges. It's good to see that the police are still trumping up charges for no reason. I like that. I like keeping the same energy. You know what I mean?
But people usually get pretty pissed off if they get shot by a paintball gun anywhere except for somewhere they paid money to go
and shoot paintball guns
and get shot by paintball guns. Yeah. Like, there's one place where people are like, they get shot with a paintball gun and they're like, ha ha ha, you got me.
But aggravated assault and weapons charges seems like a bit much. This is from the
statement
from Rutgers University Police Chief Kenneth Kopp. That's, you had your calling already. Kenneth Kopp, the police chief.
He knew. He knew from day one. Is it with a K?
No.
Oh, wow.
C-O-P.
C-O-P.
I hope that's his last name.
Kevin Kopp.
They're not just saying he's a cop.
Or not Kevin. Kevin Kopp is a pitcher.
Kenneth Kopp.
Yeah, I was thinking of the Arkansas pitcher.
It's like the next basketball coach for Tennessee just being named Rick Basketball.
That's
brilliant.
Like it's junior year of high school. You show up to the first day of class and you sit down and you look to your right and it's like, whoa, this guy's already got a beard. He's huge. What's your name? Oh, my name's Kenneth Kopp. Yeah, of course it is.
I'm sure he was a
jump
a blast
street guy
at parties.
Oh, for sure. Guys, are we drinking alcohol and doing drugs tonight? Whose house are we going to?
What? Those tweets that always go viral of just like, what's your worst experience with a plug? Or where does your plug live? And everyone just quote tweets and says, this is a cop. Very funny tweets. But Rutgers police statement on Monday, September 20th, 2021, at approximately 10 p.m., the Rutgers University Police Department, RUPD, R-U-P-D, responded to the area of Livingston campus in the township of Piscataway for the report. Three student victims were struck with paintballs discharged from a motor vehicle. The three victims sustained minor injuries and declined further medical attention on scene.
Well, yeah, they got shot with a paintball gun. They're not going to die.
An investigation completed by RUPD resulted in the arrest of two male suspects, Malachi M. Melton, a 19-year-old resident of Toms River, New Jersey, and Christopher M. Long, a 19-year-old resident of Willenboro, New Jersey, have been charged with three counts of aggravated assault and possession of a weapon with unlawful purposes. Both were released on their own recognizance. With the summons to appear in Middlesex County Superior Court. So Rutgers New Jersey just loves naming these things crazy. Kenneth Kopp, Piscataway in Middlesex County.
Piscataway, I've heard that. Is that not in The Sopranos? Do they not talk about Piscataway?
Well, it's a real town in New Jersey, so yes.
I'm aware, but like that's just the only I heard that, and I didn't hear that as strange.
I always thought that was a different cut of Gabagool.
I was like, I know, yeah.
Sandwich with the Piscataway on it.
Yeah, exactly. Tony loves that sandwich. Everybody knows that.
R.I.P. to the King. Go see Many Saints in Newark on October 1st. I can't wait.
It's tough that that's a crime, though, because it is funny.
It's so funny.
It is funny because you know they're not. You're not gonna like injure them.
No,
you're gonna hurt them.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, also a thing. It's a jerk move to do on strangers. They're not. They're never gonna laugh. But if my buddy, if my friend, I have many friends I've had for decades. If he was walking around town, you know, not doing like, you know, anything important, if he was just down there, and I rolled by in the bed of a truck and I peppered him with a paintball gun, I think he'd love it, honestly. He'd be really mad, but he'd love it.
Yeah, it's like pantsing
it's hilarious.
Like if your buddy pantses you, haha comedy, someone random pantses you.
They're getting punched in the
exactly,
face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's sexual harassment.
Yeah, they made the mistake of not shooting people they knew.
They should have just gone to Shiano's house and just peppered him.
He would have loved that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a...
Keep it within the family, they say.
Yeah.
We won't even talk about this. We'll keep it under wraps.
Right, right, yeah. Put a lid on it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Sure.
Did you see the roof of the Caesar Superdome? Has fire and smoke coming out of it today?
I did see it caught on fire. Yeah. I saw it on the TV earlier in the show, and my eyes went real wide, and you looked at the TV.
Yeah, apparently someone was injured in the fire, so I don't want to make too many jokes about it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was going to make some jokes. I already had some jokes prepared, but someone was injured, so I do feel a little bad.
Just a little?
Yeah, just a little. Just a little.
You couldn't even put the T in there. You were just a little bad.
A little bad.
Okay. All right. I mean, it's fine.
I only have one that's like worth telling because it's not insulting to anybody else. I thought Jameis Winston was just trying to get rid of the demons. Like he saw Kyrie walk through TD Garden with the sage, and he just accidentally set a brush fire.
He fumbled, yeah. And he set it on the ground, and it caught the roof on fire somehow. Yeah,
he was just doing one of those crazy drills that he does, where like he's blindfolded and someone he's having to throw through flaming hoops.
Yeah,
and he just accidentally knocked one down.
Yep. He hit the pole.
Yeah.
It being Jameis' fault would not shock me. If they came out tomorrow and they were like, hey, we talked to him. He understands what he did was wrong. With that said, he's still starting on Sunday. We just wanted to make that clear. His bad. And that, you know, I would be like, yeah, that's fair. That's something that happened. My trainer was telling me something the other day. He was telling me, He was telling me we got to light the ceiling on fire. That's what he told me. That's what the trainer said, but he couldn't say that on TV. No, he just couldn't say it on TV. He was like, uh-oh, they're going to know. He just said to be prepared. In the back of his head, he's like, I'm going to light this ceiling on fire.
Just Jameis Arson instead of Jameis
Winston. He did it 2 weeks later because he thought, you know, space it out a little bit, look a little less guilty. It was Jameis, probably.
Probably. Did you see Lane Kiffin only follows one person on Instagram right now?
Who's that?
Well, take a guess. If you haven't seen, then take a guess. I assumed you had seen it. Went a little viral. Only follows one person.
Peyton Manning.
It's a little creepy because it's a minor as well.
It's a minor. What's his name? The Manning child?
It's Arch.
Arch Manning. Arch. That's his name, yeah.
Which I think it's
a little weird.
It is a little creepy.
A little weird, Lane. A little strange. But, I mean, it's a solid move.
ABC, always be crootin'.
Always be crootin'. And he's crootin'. And mm-hmm. I bet you Arch knows that.
The shocking thing was he only has one post on Instagram, and he only has 9,702 followers.
I mean, he only has one post. What's the point of following if he doesn't use Instagram, you know?
Good point. He is a much bigger Twitter guy.
He's a Twitter guy?
Lane Kiffin.
Oh, I thought you were referring to Arch Manning.
No, Lane Kiffin.
Okay. Who Arch Manning is, I feel like he has more than one post on Instagram, probably.
Yeah. No, Lane Kiffin only has one post.
Kid. Okay.
As a child.
Yeah, Lane's a Twitter guy at mm-hmm. heart.
Oh, I meant to bring this up. Did you see it was, what teams were it? Bishop, something, and...
Sycamore.
Nope. We have a story about that later.
Still?
I'll tie it in.
Okay. Okay. All right. You're like, I'll lie.
I just foreshadowed one of my jokes, but for a story that will go into Mom of the Week.
Okay.
But I can't remember the high schools, but it was two like prep league high schools who were playing, and it was that giant comeback. It was like a 20 point something deficit.
It was like 17.
I think it was 17. It was like 24-7 or something like that.
Somewhere along in there.
In 2 minutes, the last play, the game winning touchdown.
Yes.
A new angle came out of it. The quarterback threw up on the ball and then threw it to the receiver. And it's one of the grossest
things. No way.
Look it up. It is one of the grossest things
that's incredible
I've ever seen.
Does that make it the best football play of all time?
Like, he hiked it, and then had it at his shoulder like a normal ready position, threw up all over the ball, and then proceeded to throw a the game-winning touchdown pass.
Holy.
As time expired. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. I went to the guy's Instagram page. He was like passed out on the sideline after the game because it took all of it out of him. But it was a very impressive play. And even more of an impressive play from the wide receiver. I don't think he knew there was throw up on it, but that's a slick ball. And it smells like Tucker, so like you really got to hold on to that.
Oh, come on, man. That's not... I don't... Not even close, okay?
You're right. You smell way worse than
Tucker. No. No. Not. The fact that... do you think that was just like a fear or like a fight or flight response on like the last play of the game
or
whatever?
Well, they had just gone on three drives. I think this was like the fourth or third drive. And
that's
so
true.
He
was probably
just gassed.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. God. What a killer.
What a G.
A hero.
It was wild.
Yeah, that's better than any football movie, you know, script you could write.
Speaking of...
that was awesome.
Touchdown passes and touchdown balls. After the game, wide receiver Juwan Jennings, we talked about it, he got his first career catch and touchdown this past weekend to help the 49ers get the win over the Eagles. Juwan Jennings said he thought the football that he caught from his first career NFL touchdown was gone forever. Turns out someone grabbed it for him in the back of the end zone and made sure it was secure.
I saw it. I don't know who it was, but I saw someone grab the football and like follow him, and I was like, good.
It was George Kittle.
It was George Kittle.
That's
right.
It was George Kittle.
Yeah.
Which makes me even happier because I didn't know that was George Kittle who he was celebrating with, but when I rewatched the video, that makes me even happier that the stars really love him on that team.
Yeah, I remember thinking that was very cool. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that's a, you know, that's not just some guy on the, you know, the offense. Mm-hmm. It's George Kittle. Mm-hmm. You know, Greg Kittle. He's out there getting the ball for you. You know, you're making an impact.
Speaking of first, I believe there was a Reds player who hit his first career home run, and Mookie Betts made sure he got the ball as well. It was a really cool moment. I saw this on TikTok, so it could have been months ago.
Game respects game. No, we're in a series with the Dodgers
then
right now.
Okay,
that makes
then it must
sense.
Have been recent. Again, TikTok, it doesn't really have a chronological timeline. They just show you whatever they want to show you type deal.
Yep.
And so sometimes I'll be watching a video from July and not even realize it. But Mookie Betts made sure that he got the home run ball. I can't remember who hit his first career home run. And then Mookie Betts did a nice thing and went and got a signed bat from himself and gave it to the fan who threw the ball out there. So it was a really cool
Pretty
moment.
Pretty cool.
It was a really cool moment. I did, though, see a very funny comment where someone was like, you know, this is why baseball is my favorite sport. And I was like, really? That's why baseball is your favorite sport? Not the home runs or the World Series or
the 103 mile an hour fastballs.
Yeah, it's Mookie Betts giving a bat to a guy who gave his home run ball back. Huh. That's your favorite part about sports. Didn't make sense to me. That would be like me.
It's
saying,
a gentleman's game.
My,
Maybe that's
my,
what
my
they're...
favorite part of basketball is when the guys are kneeing at the substation, right, ready to go in. You know what I mean? I like it when they take off their warm-ups and get ready.
Yeah, I like when they shake hands before the tip-off, right there.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I like watching them stretch, you know?
Yeah, it's good. I like watching the ball guy get the rebounds and dish out during shoot-arounds.
Because he might get a start against Tennessee Tech later in the season if they need him.
He's important.
Bring up the manager.
He's important.
I always wanted that to happen to me.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did it?
No.
That's tough.
I was going to get to play in my first ever and only like varsity high school sport match for senior night in soccer. And then COVID happened, and so that didn't happen, and it was
Bummer.
Very sad.
It's
and
tough.
We were going to win a state title. I just want that to be known. Farragut was going to win a state title in soccer, and it was going to be all the manager's responsibility.
It was all you, bro.
It was all me.
All you, dog.
It was all me.
You did it.
But, you know, you got to take the blessings in disguise, as they say. And if COVID doesn't happen, I wouldn't be the most famous Farragut alumni right now. So you just got to take the blessings in the disguise.
Wise words.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I just watched the guy puke on the football. That's
sick play.
It's wow.
No pun intended.
Wow. He wasn't even fake. He didn't move.
No.
It just shoots out
he
of
threw
him.
A dot, too. It was a good
it
pass.
It was a great pass.
It was a really good
I mean,
pass.
The fact that your body can just... He just wasn't doing any... Like, it was fully on autopilot at that mm-hmm. point. Mm-hmm. Like, his brain turned off, and his body was like, let's go in a football game. And he was like, okay, but I just got some puke real quick. We'll just... Bleh. I mean, wow. The sheer...
That's art.
Will to win. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. That's why we watch sports, people.
It's a Hall of Fame. That's
why we sports.
That's why we sports.
That's why we sports, people. All right.
That's why football is my favorite sport. I like watching. Exactly. I like watching minors throw up on things.
Anytime a football player just mid-play, pre-play. That's the first mid-play puke I've seen in a while. but just pre-play, standing stiff as a board, just throw up, act like nothing happens, and keep going. I never did that.
You take away a piece of the field from the team because no one wants to step and throw up.
Oh, my God.
So I remember, if you're an offensive tackle and you puke to your right, you know the defensive tackle is going to your left.
Buddy, in younger level football, like I was playing, you know, full contact football, you know, at like 9. In that lower level of football, you know how many times, you know, we would huddle? We weren't running no huddle. So I was the quarterback, and when we would huddle up, you know how many times throughout a season one of the linemen was like, "Hey, guys, one of the other guys threw up. All right, everybody look out for that. He puked. It's really gross." And we would all just have like a little – I had already called the play. Like, we knew it was going on, and we were all just like, "Ew, what's up with that?" And everybody was like, "Yeah, that was so gross."
It's like playing backyard football. Hey, watch out for the dog poop. It's right there.
Yeah, there was little landmines, and these little kids would puke all the time. I didn't understand it. I had to complain. Because
they were getting concussions way too young.
Yeah. I don't think nobody at that level, nobody's moving fast enough, I think, to cause it's awful brand of football. I knew it at the time. I was like, we suck. I mean, we were winning. I was on the good kid team.
It's like this radio show. Like I know one day we're gonna do fantastic comedy radio, but right now this is peewee football.
You look back and you're like, whoa.
I found an interesting stat. We'll talk about this real quick before we hit the break. Homer Simpson, you heard about him?
I think I've heard the name. Yeah.
Simpson.
Yes. Simpson. Got a couple kids, dog, all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lives in like Chicago or something.
Yeah. Yellow.
Illinois or something.
Yes. Yeah. Springfield.
Right.
Works at the nuclear plant.
Boom. That guy.
He. Just a fun fact for you.
Okay.
Has one thing that Pete Rose does not. Homer Simpson's in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Good for him. What'd he bat? What was his average?
There was an episode of Simpsons that Homer hit a home run or something or played baseball, and then they inducted him into the Hall of Fame. So Homer Simpson is a baseball Hall of Famer.
You're actually kidding.
Google it. I don't know if it's going to pull
there
up
a
on
picture
the archive,
of him?
But there is
a picture of him in the Hall of Fame? Is that what you're saying?
I read a fun fact. And it made me laugh because Pete Rose isn't a Hall of Famer, but a fictional character.
So you just wanted
is.
To bring that up. No, he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. Huh.
Cooperstown, New
York? In 2017. Yeah.
New York?
Cooperstown, New York.
I thought it was in Ohio.
No. That's Canton.
Cooperstown's not in Ohio? I thought both Hall of Fames were in Ohio.
I don't know. Maybe it is, but this one's in... This is in New York. I'm almost I was not shocked when it said New York. I'm almost pretty sure. I've not been,
hold
you
on,
know.
Hold on.
Never been to New York.
Now I feel stupid.
I'm almost positive it's New York. It makes sense to me. The Yankees play in New York. You know that, right?
I do know that.
You know, so that being a tie-in.
Oh, it is Cooperstown, New York. I guess I never heard the state, and so I just assumed it was Ohio.
No.
Wow.
He has a little plaque and everything, huh? Have you seen the picture? Homer J. Simpson. It's got him in his little baseball uniform.
I'm still baffled that it's in New York.
Do you want me to read his Hall of Fame plaque?
Yes.
Inept safety inspector turned citywide softball hero. Right fielder led Springfield nuclear plant to city championship game. Then sacrificed his body to win it all. Nearly supplanted by lineup of all-world superstar ringers. Came through in a pinch and came to in time for the next episode. Girthy right-handed hitter powered many a mighty wallop during celebrated 1992 season with Wonder Bat, his secret weapon.
That's what I think about when I think Homer Simpson is girthy.
It, for sure. Lack of mobility in the field was no match for moves atop the dugout. Found fame as Bush League mascot phenom, parlaying his elephant walk into a taste of the majors. Unacquainted with scientific concepts, only isotopes of which he was aware played at Duff Stadium. Where uncanny knowledge of a southwestern palate exposed team's impending move to Albuquerque.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay. The Albuquerque Isotopes?
Never gambled.
Is that a real minor league team? He never gambled. And that's why he's in. That's what you got to do.
That's what you got to do.
If you don't gamble, you'll make it. Poor Pete.
A little bit of a feel-good story here. Aaron Jones. Did you see the story about Aaron Jones?
Is he still with Green Bay?
Yeah, he had 4 touchdowns last night.
Okay. I didn't get to watch the game last night.
He had four touchdowns last night, and he wore a football chain. It was a chain with a black football on it that contained his late father's ashes.
Right.
During his four TD performance, he lost it in the end zone last night during one of the touchdowns. The chain had come off. The grounds crew looked through it for it throughout the night. Aaron Jones had this to say: if there was any place to lose it, I know that's where my dad would want me to lose it, in the end zone. A feel-good story that got even more feel-good because at 1:45 a.m., the grounds crew never stopped searching, and they found the football locket and returned it to its rightful owner with the ashes still inside. A very much a feel-good story.
Very good.
Shout out to the trainer, Brian Flea Angle. I wonder if that's the same Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers, the one who did a naked set at Woodstock 99.
It may have. I saw footage of him looking for it. It was 2 a.m, and he was walking inch by inch, just little by little, just looking on the ground.
And it's a small black football, so on a turf
field,
little. It's very, very hard to pick out.
Mm-hmm.
You would think, like, oh, great, it's a green field, black thing, you can find it easily. That's not the case with turf.
No, not that easily.
But a good story.
Glad he got that back.
Something to make you feel good.
Cool that he has that, and he wears that while he plays. Very cool story.
Very cool indeed. Shout out to Brian Angle.
Good for him having a great game last night.
Four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns. Three receiving, one rushing. Great game.
It's an impressive game, man.
Yeah.
It's an impressive game.
Aaron Rodgers apparently maybe likes football. Maybe.
I hope not.
Maybe a little. I mean, he threw four touchdowns, no picks, 22 for 27. He may like football. I think he likes beating the Lions.
Yeah, I think he'll play good in NFC North games. But if he's playing an AFC team, he doesn't care.
He's like, whatever, you know. He's like, what? You know, he, no matter what, he's gonna beat the NFC North. He's gonna win that division.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, maybe that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions, you don't really have to try that hard either.
Well, the Lions kind of like they changed their game plan after what was working was working. I don't know why, but they were letting Aaron Rodgers pick them apart and just keeping everything in front of them, and then all of a sudden they switched to just like single coveraging Davante Adams on the sideline.
That works. No, you want to do that, right? You want him one on one.
If your goal is to let Davante Adams score a touchdown, then yeah, that's the type of play you're on.
Yeah, you get that result pretty quick. Whenever you do that, it's not a smart thing to do.
No,
you want to have, you definitely have a safety over top of Davante Adams 24/7.
Only one safety, though. You don't really need much else.
Well, I mean, you also a corner, you know, on him.
Nah.
And then maybe a linebacker. Put a linebacker on him.
Nope. Don't need it.
And then your other safety.
Sewell did look good, though.
Pinne?
Yeah.
He's a big man.
Pasta.
He's a big fella. I mean, good. For him,
I don't think he's given up a sack yet. He looked poor in the preseason, but he looked pretty solid.
You know, you can't teach size.
No,
you know, he's a big fella, and he's got good technique. He's got quick feet. He'll probably make a lot of money in the NFL. Probably won't win a lot of football games. It's tough for him, but he'll make a lot of money.
For sure. But you still got Jared Goff.
It's a living.
Yeah, it is a living. Speaking of which, we're going to hit a quick break, but I don't know what speaking of which was supposed to do there. That we weren't speaking of anything.
Speaking of which, bye.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Overtime, hour two, rolling right along. Final segment before birthdays, and let's get into this new segment. But before we do, I do want to, real quick, a little breaking news out of the world of Tennessee football.
Oh.
Tennessee has canceled their 2022 home game against Army and now will host Akron instead on September 17th.
Good move there.
I like this move.
Good move.
Because here on Overtime, and not just Overtime, but at Fan Run Radio, and not just at Fan Run Radio, but Vol Nation as a whole, and not just Vol Nation, but the whole entire state of Tennessee, we support the troops here. That's what we do. We support the troops. And you cannot support the troops while also beating their ass.
Okay. I love that. Sure. We did this out of respect.
Exactly.
Huh? I like
exactly.
it. I like it. Not fear.
No reason to embarrass you. I probably shouldn't say the joke I was going to. We'll hold off on that one.
Yeah, you toe the line sometimes, mister. I mean, no need. It's not fear. It's definitely not fear. We're not afraid of Army.
No, no.
Not at all.
Not at all.
We would confidently beat Army.
But they might take a while getting out of our stadium, so you know.
Take 20 years?
Yeah, right around there.
Yeah. Good one. Good one.
That's the tame version of the joke I was going to tell.
That was excellent, Will.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You did it, dude.
Sometimes you just got to bite the tongue, you know?
Right.
Sometimes you just got to bite the tongue. But that's not what these moms are doing, though.
Oh, we're going to moms?
Moms of the week.
Ooh.
Or mom of the week. There's only going to be one winner. I'll tell you all about all of them, and then we'll get into who the true winner is. I got a couple of stories. We're going to start. This one's... She's almost on the list. I'm gonna talk about her. She's not on the mom
of the
week.
She's the appetizer.
But she's close to being a mom of the week as a teacher at an elite sport academy is accused of having sexual relationships with an underage student.
Oh.
Taylor Anderson was fired from IMG Academy, facing several child sex charges.
Oh my.
Yes, yes, yes.
No, she is not the mom of the week.
No, her quote was he told me he played for Bishop Sycamore, so I assumed he was 30.
Wow.
No, she turned herself in after there was rumors of her fooling around with students. Apparently, she used to pick him up from his apartment and go on beach dates
there
in Florida.
You can't do that with your teacher.
You can't.
That is immoral and wrong, and you should be in jail.
But, the biggest school closest to him is Florida, so she's seen Megan Mullen do it. So, that's not fair. Why can she do it and not
I? She's D1, your high school.
They're 18. The kids you teach are not. That's really the extent
These
of
are
it.
The rules.
But yeah. IMG Academy. Not going well in the recent months in terms of news. Playing Bishop Sycamore, that wasn't a good look for IMG.
Yeah.
As bad of a look it was for Bishop Sycamore and ESPN, it also was a bad look for IMG.
Yeah, you scheduled the game.
Exactly. Multiple times. They had played them before.
Oh, I didn't know that little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, wow. I'm pretty sure they played them like three times.
My God.
And the last time was the time they realized that these kids aren't high school kids.
It's hey, that guy... has a wife and five kids? Hold on.
It's like the baby section at the bubble in
In that's the what NBA the bubble. Sideline looked like at Bishop Sycamore.
All right, let's get into these moms of the week though.
Okay.
This first one, I'm just gonna assume she's a mom. It doesn't have anything like it doesn't talk about her kids, but I'm just gonna for the sake of the story, I'm gonna assume she was a mom. This feels like mom-like behavior.
That kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What'd she do?
I think I'm just going to go down the headlines, and then you tell me which one you want me to read about first instead of reading all of them and then deciding. I'll read the headlines of all of them, and then we'll get into the details afterwards so we can establish truly who is the mom of the week. Here's the first headline. Newberg staff member placed on leave after showing up to work in blackface.
Oh, my. Okay, read the next one.
The next one is... parents arrested for encouraging son to fight at school.
Okay. All right. That could be interesting.
Texas mother interrupts school board meeting to discuss sex. Specifically, the back door.
She showed up just wanting to talk. It's just chat. She was having... Okay.
I can only read you the headline.
That's it?
That's the headline.
That's how we're deciding?
No. I'll get into the details after we read all the headlines. I want you to pick the stories you want us to get into. Because we got four stories and not a ton of time. So I don't want to get into all the details of all the stories.
Okay.
We got one last headline.
What was that first one?
I'll go back.
Oh, you have one last headline.
One last headline for Mom of the Week before we decide who we want to dig deep into. California mom gets behind the wheel drunk, drags 8-year-old daughter who tried to stop her 300 feet. Which one would you like to get into? Blackface, backdoor sex, encouraging a fighting, or dragging your daughter 300 feet while drunk?
I want to see that lady's explanation for showing up to work like that.
Showing up to work like that?
Yeah.
It was a pretty, I can't lie, as against I am of blackface, it was a pretty funny explanation. The staff member worked at Marble Rush Elementary, an elementary school.
School? Okay.
This comes just weeks after KGW, the news article place I'm using this, reported Newberg students participated in an online slave trade on Snapchat. So it's a pretty racist school already.
Oh, no.
They've been embroiled in some controversy. This is in Oregon. A staff member in the Newberg school district has been placed on leave after showing up to work in blackface last Friday. The staff member worked at Marble Elementary School as a teacher's aide for special education students and showed up dressed as Rosa Parks with her face darkened with dye to protest the vaccine mandates for teachers, according to reporter Ryan Clark.
Wait. It wasn't... for like an educational thing in the classroom, and she was a little misguided. She did this.
It wasn't a demonstration for a wax museum. It was. She's a hero, and she is protesting mask mandates and vaccine mandates in Oregon as of October 18th. All employees K through 12 for that school system will have to be vaccinated.
That was her form of protest? Showing up as Rosa Parks?
A statement from the school district put on the website is important to remember how blackface has been misrepresented black communities and do harm. We acknowledge the violence this represents and the trauma it invokes, regardless of intention.
Your intention was stupid.
Yes. This is not the only controversy. I also mentioned the online slave trade. They also have other controversies where the district is involved. And recently, the Newburgh School Board District has been trying to ban teachers from hanging Black Lives Matter flags and Pride flags in their classroom. Recently, the school board beefed up the ban to include all controversial political symbols. But yes, I believe she even wrote on the front of the bus to the school. She went full on.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Dressed as Rosa Parks and then sat at the front and then got to school and then hopped off the bus and said, I'm a hero.
Yeah. I'm sure they think they are. I'm sure they think they really are doing something.
Yes.
You're looking stupid.
It was such a funny reason.
Wow. How does that even get into your head? How do you think of something like that? How do you go, how will I stick it to the man? How am I going to let him know? Me. I'll dress up as Rosa Parks.
I just want to know how.
What does that do?
I wonder if her costume was really accurate or if she just went blackface and said she was Rosa Parks. It was just like casual Friday jeans and a t-shirt and then blackface and she's like, I'm Rosa Parks, guys. Or if she went like full 1960s.
Put this lady in jail.
Yeah.
Put this lady in prison. Oh my God. What the? Like, this is a stupid.
That's number one nominee. We got it. Wow. We got to run quickly through the other ones. You want to talk about the DUI mom, the butt sex mom?
The DUI mom will just make me a little sad. You can't do that. She can't win. You know? Did it do harm to the child? I hope it didn't do harm to the child.
No, just abrasions on the feet and legs. Just a couple cuts. Uh-huh. It wasn't bad. It was a neighborhood, and a bystander was able to help out the girl before the mom then drugged the bystander along for 300 feet as well. The funny part of the story, there is one funny part of the story where I'll just read these last two paragraphs. A male bystander saw that what was happening and tried to intervene. Police said Garcia stopped as the bystander and the grandmother attempted to get her out of the car, but Garcia then proceeded to drive away and the bystander was dragged by Garcia's vehicle for a short distance. She then drove away from the scene, according to police, and then officers responded to the same residence a short time later to find Garcia, the woman behind the wheel, hiding behind bushes in the backyard.
Oh, wow.
And then she allegedly...
Of her own house?
Yes. And then allegedly resisted and kicked at officers attempting to take her into custody.
Nice lady.
And she was not tased or anything like that.
Nice lady.
Yes. Indeed.
Nice lady. Indeed. Yeah. And how about the people fight? What was the kid's reason for needing to fight?
That's not in the news article. I could not find that information. I mean, it is minors. But apparently...
Who cares?
Farragut High School, my former alma mater. Had some issues as 3:45 p.m. At school on a Wednesday. Knox County Sheriff's Office was contacted by the school security officer regarding an incident. Upon arrival, the security officer told the responding officer that she was outside directing traffic when she heard and saw numerous juveniles and Monica Pelusio yelling and causing a disturbance in the parking lot. Security officer said she recognized that a fight was about to occur, which doesn't happen often at Farragut. I only saw two fights, and they weren't real fights my whole entire 4 years at Farragut, or three and a half.
Yeah, kids don't fight anymore like they used to.
No, and especially not in white suburbia. There's no reason to fight. But she recognized there was a fight about to occur, so she ordered them numerous times to stop. They refused. Apparently, the father then entered the disturbance as one was yelling for his son to fight the other juvenile. The officer ordered both parents to return to their vehicle three times, but they refused, continued to escalate the situation, and encourage their son to fight. I don't know this kid. I didn't go to high school with him. I believe he's a freshman. Was able to put context clues together and talk, do some investigative journalism. kid's not a fighter, and so it was mainly the parents just egging it on and egging it on. According to reports, the officer had to use pepper spray on all individuals to get it to stop.
He sprayed the crowd.
And the parents refused to stop their son from fighting, instead encouraged it numerous times.
Huh. Okay, so...
not nearly as bad as the DUI.
Given a look, no. That lady sucks.
Not nearly as funny as the blackface.
Given a little more context, it's certainly worse than what I thought it was going to be. My parents, you know, they didn't encourage me to fight, but my parents were more of the you know, don't run away.
Yeah, don't take stuff from other people.
I first
saw the headline, I thought this was like the kid said his parents told him to, and then this was an overreach by cops who then showed up to the house and was like, you told your son to fight, you're under arrest.
Right.
No, the parents were picking up the kid from school, apparently saw a kid that they didn't like.
Punch that kid in the face!
Exactly.
Punch him!
Exactly.
Tell him his mom sucks!
Hey son, you want to play the knockout game?
Hey, punch that kid in the face right now. Punch him in the face. It'll be so cool.
Some carrying a trumpet. No band nerd on next to my car.
Back when I was in high school, I punched people in the face for fun.
And then, can I say the actual word for backdoor? In terms of,
I've
avoided it because I don't know.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know the rules.
Exactly.
It sounds wrong.
Exactly. It does.
You know, it's a word that's a little slimy. You know,
but then it is also just a regular word
it
as
is.
Well.
Like, no, it is.
Like you can get real blank about things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it became the surprise agenda at a school board meeting in Texas after a mother chastised educators for stalking a sexually explicit book in school libraries.
Ooh,
Wednesday,
spicy.
Wednesday's Dreary Lake Travis Independent School District board meeting about its finances and coronavirus response took a shocking turn when an incensed, local mother, Kara Bell, took to the lectern to read a racy excerpt from a book found on a middle school shelf. She was aggrieved that a passage from the 2015 young adult novel Out of Darkness by Ashley Hope Perez depicted cornholing, which is, she later found out, is a 1930s euphemism for backdoor stuff. Not going to lie, I had to Google cornhole because I know that as a game in my backyard, Bell said to the school board academy. But according to Wikipedia, cornhole is a sexual slang vulgarism for backdoor in verb form. To cornhole, which came into usage in the 1930s, means to have backdoor sex. I do not want my children to learn about backdoor sex in middle school. I've never had backdoor sex. I don't want to have backdoor sex, and I don't want my kids having backdoor sex either. I want you to stop focusing on backdoor sex and start focusing on public health.
Wow, lady. You're passionate about this.
Apparently the book was removed from everything.
The school also agreed that they shouldn't have cornholing in their books.
Apparently.
I'm a blame... Anybody has a problem with me in the next 2 months, I'm going to blame this lady because I'm going to be saying cornholing a lot. Yeah, that's a great word. I don't know how that fell out of use. But
next time someone asks me if I want to play cornhole, I'm going to punch them in the face.
Like, we're cornholing.
I don't swing that way, man.
You're cornholing back there? Oh, cornhole. Oh, no, I got you. The bean bags. And throw them. And
what? You're throwing a sack at a hole? It sounds a lot like cornholing to me.
That's cornholing. That's right.
So who's the mom of the year? Is it Newberg staff member who wore blackface, dressed as Rosa Parks?
It's not that one.
Is it parents arrested for encouraging their sons to fight at school? Or is it a Texas mother disrupting an Austin school board meeting to discuss backdoor sex?
I guess it's going to have to be the backdoor sex lady.
Fair enough.
You know?
Carabel, if you're listening, come on down. You are Overtime's mom of the week. Come on down and we can cornhole all night long.
Oh, wow.
She was a looker. She's pretty. She's pretty cute.
Wow.
I lie. I just like a woman when she's angry.
I promise.
I like a fiery type.
I don't know if you got the message, but this lady, not interested in any cornholing.
She's never cornholed with me.
She is devoutly against cornholing.
No, I think it's just weird that these people are so scared of sex being in books. Like, we talked about that 600-something-odd...
On paper, yeah. It's way more real.
Yeah, I guess. No. But, like, we talked about that 625 writing prompt book, which is on its way for Will Stevens. I actually read a little bit of a PDF, and I liked the prompts that were in it. So I'm gonna start doing some writing prompts. I think cool. I'm just going to bring it in one day
okay.
and talk about it. But it's very funny to me that people make such a big deal out of sex. Like, I don't understand it. Like, me, like, personally, I have an average amount of sex.
Sick, dude.
If average is once every 19 years, you know what I mean?
That's about average.
It's about average.
That's right at it.
It's right at it.
I think. Oh, it's close.
It's close.
It's close it's to close. Average.
But mom of the week, Cara Bell.
Shout out.
Never, shout out. Ever going to go in the back door.
Never.
I'm a front door type of lady. More overtime next. Happy time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. As always, people are born and then we talk about them no later and no sooner. Only thing that's different is the names and the day. Before I give Tucker to take it away, Tennessee has announced their 2022 football schedule in the middle of the 2021 season. I'm going to do a live reaction real quick. Game number one, September 3rd, Ball State. Game number two, at Pittsburgh. Akron coming to town September 17th. Florida, 24th of September. LSU at LSU October 8th. Alabama October 15th. UT Martin October 22nd. Kentucky October 29th. Happy birthday, Dad. At Georgia November 5th. Missouri November 12th at home. At South Carolina November 19th. And Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt November 26th. That is the Tennessee schedule.
So very similar to the schedule we play this year.
Yes, that was pretty impressive, though.
You nailed it, man.
That was real time, just me reading them as they popped up on the screen. No big deal. Incredible. Or anything like that. I could be an auctioneer.
Yeah, you are an auctioneer. Pretty much.
It's true.
That's what you were born to do.
Take it away.
And this is what I was born to do. Born in Miramar, Florida. Age 32. Born in 1989. This pop singer. He.
You said 32?
Is 32 years old today. I can't. Woo. They just put the born. Here's his name. He's known for his double platinum hit, which samples the Imogen Heap song, Hide and Seek. He has worked as a songwriter for artists like Birdman. He studied opera and ballet at the Dillard Center for Arts and began writing songs for Diddy and Danity Kane when he was 16. He released his second album, Future History, in 2011 and reached number one on the UK R&B charts. Very big when I was in, like, 7th grade, 8th grade. Super famous. Known for his name being in the front of all his songs. It sang.
Oh, Jason Derulo.
It's Jason Derulo.
Yeah.
That's him. It's happy birthday. Happy birthday to him. It's his happy birthday.
Bro, he is more popular now than he was ever just because of TikTok. Like, I don't think he's released a new song, but he's one of the more popular people on TikTok.
Is
just because, I mean, he shoots them like movies. It's crazy. His TikToks are like genuinely like 30-second short films.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. Okay. This next guy, not Jason Derulo. Born in Portland, Maine.
Jason Derulo.
Okay. Moving on to the third birthday. This guy, 74 years old, born in Portland, Maine. 1947 is when this person was born. 74-year-old novelist. Very, very famous author. Author whose best-selling, suspense novels include, all right, let me try to pick one out of here, Misery and The Dark Tower series, 11-22-63.
Oh, Stephen King.
Oh, have I told you about that? Have you read that book?
Yes, I have. That's darn the only one you mentioned that darn. I read.
Yeah, it's Stephen
King. That's like the least scary one, so that's the one I read.
Yeah, also, you know, Carrie...
Pet Sematary.
Pet Sematary, The Stand. A lot of great
Goosebumps.
Books. Goosebumps. Cujo. He doesn't remember Cujo, supposedly, according to him, because he was doing way too much cocaine. So he doesn't even... Yeah, wouldn't that be nice just to be born with such talent that you can make something like that and it be such, you know, so popular and you don't even remember doing it?
I do it every day. It's called overtime.
You know what? You're right. I forget what we do immediately as soon as we leave here.
What did we talk about last segment? Exactly.
I'm actually... Okay, moving on. 71 years old, Evanston, Illinois, 1950. Movie actor. A comedic movie actor, comedian and actor, who was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Actor for his starring role in a movie in 2003. I'm sure you've heard of that movie. But he was in The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, St. Vincent, The Royal Tenenbaums.
Bill Murray.
It's Bill Murray.
St. Vincent was a pretty solid flick.
Yeah. This next guy I don't think you're going to get.
Okay.
You'll know who it is, but I don't think you know the name. But I think we had a conversation about it not too long ago. St. Clair Shores, Michigan, 62 years old. 1959 is when this TV actor was born. TV actor, 62 years old. Gained fame in the 80s and 90s on an ABC sitcom, extremely famous sitcom. It was announced in 2015 that he would reprise his own role in a 2016 follow-up series. He's worked as a voice actor for Robot Chicken and Bob and Doug. Let me see here. He played a comedian in the show. It was Full House.
David Culley. No, David Culley is the Texans coach. It's David something. It's David C. something.
Shorten it.
David Coller?
Shorten it.
David Cole?
Shorten the other name.
Dave?
Dave what?
Dave Collier? Dave Coulieri?
Nailed it.
Fair enough.
Nice. I didn't think you'd pull Uncle.
Cut it out.
I didn't think you'd pull Uncle Joey's name.
He was my favorite character.
Oh, I loved him. He was my favorite too.
That's my favorite thing to say. It's just cut it out.
Oh, and you nail it. It always gets a laugh exactly. Every time people go, "Yeah, that's the thing."
Bullwinkle.
Bullwinkle. Yeah. Oh God, got a laugh out of me every time.
What do you mean, Rocky?
A great day.
I'm not doing them well, but I have a good time doing them.
a great day for people like that character, or not that character, but that actor. The Bronx, New York, age 50, 1971. TV actor, another known for one character, I believe. He was on other things, but he's hosted things. Best known for playing his role of Carlton Banks on the television series, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Alfonso. Oh, he hosted America's Funniest Home Videos.
He did. That was what I was going to say next. And
Alfonso.
He won Dancing with the Stars in their 19th season.
He broke out the Carlton.
Yeah.
Alfonso. Alfonso is right.
Yes, okay. I will almost accept that.
Name starts with, yeah, that's what I was about to say. Last name starts with Alfonso. I'm not going to be able to pull it. I didn't want to butcher it.
Ribeiro.
Fair. I didn't want to butcher it and put some disrespect on the man's name.
Let's see if you get this novelist. But
shout out Alonzo. You didn't need to get that gun, Carlton.
You didn't need to
get that gun.
Did not.
That's if the first like TV the episode hits. I can remember crying to, it was that one.
Yeah, I'm going to hit you with this one really quick.
Same.
79 years old when he died in 46. He was born in 1866 in Bromley, England. He's a British author of The Time Machine, The Invisible Man, and The War of the Worlds. Who wrote War of the Worlds? It's an initial name.
I'm not going to be able to pull it with time ticking on me. I know.
H.G. Wells.
Oh, fair enough. I was thinking of Orson Welles.
Close enough.
I was thinking of Orson Welles. That's overtime. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
We love you guys.